cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Let me tell you now. I took her home to my place, watching every movie.
It's April 17, 2014. The radio program is on the air. It's on the Sportsnet radio and television networks. It's prime time. Bob McCown with Dave Perkins and Sid Sixero has stuck around just because.
He's glued to the seat.
We're just talking.
Just yakking between shows. Not about anything particular.
I have a new retirement strategy, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Perkins. Let me know what you think.
It's a little early for this. Don't you think?
Never too early. That's what in this
business, yeah.
Those ING commercials taught me one thing. It's never too early. I'm going to develop a knuckleball. By the time I'm 38, I'm just going to have one good season. And just get paid.
And just pitch indoors.
That's it.
And only pitch indoors.
Only pitch indoors.
That's right.
Have my own personal catcher who hits .9092. And make it rain.
Personal catcher got half the Blue Jays hits today, I want you to know.
Yeah, they got four singles.
Today.
Yeah.
And I like Josh. He's a good guy. Come on. He can't hit. The guy can't hit.
He's hitting .400.
Whatever. You're hitting .400.
No,
I'm
not.
It's week two.
On this show, maybe.
But that's my retirement strategy, and I think it's ironclad. I think I'm going to do it.
Make sure you have a plan B. Just, you know.
Well, you're the only one here that's retired.
Yeah, what can I say?
Things must have worked out pretty well for you.
You'd never know by this week.
Would you hit a 16 parlay or something?
I wish. No.
Something happened.
I forget the parlays.
Lottery ticket?
No, forget the parlays. No, I don't play lotteries. Never have.
I'll just bet on the Raptors to win the East.
Yeah, you can make money betting the Raptors if you like them.
+140?
Because New Jersey's favored. Imagine that.
Well, Bob, we are sitting next to a man who predicted a World Series sweep 2 World Series ago.
Yeah, that's
with
true.
Detroit and the Giants.
I did bet that, yeah.
Would that pay?
We're lucky, 30-1.
30-1?
Yeah.
It's outstanding.
Yeah, well.
That's why you're retired.
Yeah, but trust me, it doesn't always work that way. Yeah, you remember the good ones, but you forget all the ones you're ripping up. But
usually works out that way, doesn't it?
Actually, with gamblers, it's, I think, the other way around, actually.
Well, you always remember your bad beats.
Bad beats.
Yeah.
Remember all the bad beats, but you don't remember the ones that you just totally fluked into. Yeah,
that's right. You think you were meant to win those. Yeah.
I'd put down money on the Raptors if I was inclined, which I'm not. No longer in my life. There was a time in my life I might have.
Yeah.
Do you know a bookmaker?
A bookmaker? Yeah. His name is Bo Dog.
Oh, you go to Bo Dog. Oh, okay.
Met him in Mississauga years ago.
Yeah, that's right. You don't even need a bookmaker anymore.
No, you can do it all on the online stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They're everywhere.
My offshore buddies.
Sometimes it's tough to get paid.
Yeah, it's funny how that works.
Now, do you use a bookie or do you use the
Offshore places, yeah, online places. But I've had issues getting paid. I've had to change companies a couple of times.
Any issues paying them?
They tend to fall into the sea, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, they disappear off the face of the earth. You go to the website and it's not there anymore.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Cannot connect to that URL.
You guys feeling the Raptors? Is there any juice?
I don't.
Is this good? Is this going to pique your curiosity? What do you guys think?
I think the best thing that happened to them is this whole notion of Brooklyn tanking so they can face the Raptors.
I still don't buy that's how it happened last year.
I really don't. Well, as long as the story's out there, I think that's enough. And that's why I said it the way I did, because I'm not sure it's that they actually did either.
Something doesn't have to be true to get a team all revved up.
That's right.
Remember all the years that they used to talk about the women's hockey and how the Americans desecrated the Canadian flag in the dressing room.
Didn't happen.
It never happened.
No.
But our people talked about it enough that it became a rallying point.
What's the line, Perk? Never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Right. So, anyway, it'll be, I mean, you could see I heard the New Jersey guy on today, the radio guy, talking about it. He said, look, it's an older team. They knew they were in locked into sixth, and they weren't, whether it's Chicago or Toronto, they were not going to have the home advantage. And so they just said, last game doesn't matter. We got older guys. Let's, you know, Raptors played like it didn't matter.
Well, I heard somebody analyze it even deeper than that, saying it was less about the Raptors and more about avoiding Miami until the final.
Yeah.
That if you beat whoever wins the Raptors Brooklyn series, assuming the cards fall the way we expect, they get Indiana.
No.
Well, the way it falls now is they get Miami.
Yeah, it's 1-4-2-3, right?
They get Miami now. Miami's the 2 seed.
Yeah.
And they don't recede in the conference. So the brackets are what they are.
Yeah, 1-4. Oh, really?
So somebody was wrong.
It'll be 1-4-2-3.
So. There was a miss. But I mean, but to your point, though, in terms of there's also the feeling that Jason Kidd thinks, having gone 4-0 against Miami in the regular season, this is what they want. Despite the fact they know what gears they got to hit. Yeah. They've been to 3 straight finals. Dwayne Wade hasn't been at a second gear all year. I don't know if you can hold a season series against a team like Miami and put it on a pedestal like that. Yeah, I don't buy it.
All bets are off once the playoffs start.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Just go play.
I'm with you.
Well, but there is a truism in basketball, probably more than any other sport, that there are matchups that favor certain teams regardless of record, almost. That's like, true. I mean, if you're a crappy team, you know, you're a crappy team. But given everybody that makes the playoffs is decent, there are matchups that matter.
That's right. And the Zebras matter. You know?
The Zebras matter. See, I get the feeling that is now the concern here.
As the
Raptors haven't been around long enough to get a call at this time of the year.
And the league doesn't care if they're there or not. Did you see the TV schedule? They're not even on TNT.
First up.
Yeah, the first 4 games aren't even on TNT.
The 12:30 game on the Saturday of NBA playoff opening weekend is like the opening act of Coachella.
But wait, hang on a sec. I wouldn't put him on. Why would you put him on?
Well, the Nets are interesting, though. The Nets are interesting. See, I thought if the Nets were
game
in play.
Game 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, game 4 gets on. But
I thought they, but the Nets, I thought, meant they wouldn't get the 12:30 start on Saturday.
There are far more interesting stories than Brooklyn-Toronto.
But Brooklyn's a juicy team. Brooklyn will get numbers.
I mean, Miami's a great team. Yeah. You've got 6 teams in the West.
In the West, yeah.
That are all great. But you want to see them.
Brooklyn's a de facto.
Chicago's a big market.
It's a huge market. But Brooklyn's now the de facto team. But they're the de facto New York team with the Knicks gone, though.
I think you guys are being too sensitive.
Well, I'm not saying
about the Toronto thing. I wouldn't put them on either. No, and besides, it's Toronto, and this is America. And Americans are dumb as posts. They don't even know where Toronto is. It's up there somewhere. There.
I was watching Jimmy Kimmel, and he had a story about how 300 just random Americans were asked to point Crimea on a map.
Oh.
5 of them thought it was in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And they had put dots on where all the guesses were on the globe of where Crimea was. It was just, I don't know why I threw that story that you mentioned.
Well, we talked about it. You know, it is.
Well, of course, they do know where Toronto is now because of our mayor.
Correct.
No, they know that we have an idiot mayor, but they don't know. They still don't know where Toronto is.
He's put Toronto on some maps.
Will you guys be watching Saturday afternoon?
Sure.
Will you? What, game one?
Game one.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, who can afford a ticket?
It's a very good point. those tickets are not cheap.
Unless Bob can get us a couple.
What time does the game start? 12:30?
12:30 tip.
Perfect, because it'll be over by 2:30, 3 o'clock. People can come over and see me at at the LCBO.
There you go. You know, it's great for those of us who get up at the crack of noon.
That's a doubleheader.
Perfect, yeah.
That's a doubleheader. Raptors Nets. Noon?
No, I'm just...
No, seriously, just now that you're retired.
No. I'm
what time are you up?
Oh, I get up pretty early.
Oh, yeah? Give me early.
Some days 8:30.
I'm going to send the rooster over to see you.
Yeah, I don't... I'll butcher it and fry it.
I'm insomnia, so I'm up at 5 o'clock this morning.
On purpose?
No, but
was it one of those?
Just one of those I couldn't sleep.
Things.
Yeah, no, it's I couldn't sleep, and
you're excited about the Raptors, so
I
couldn't sleep.
I got up. Yes, what it was.
That's what. Yeah, you go.
And so I got up and I went down to the couch, flip on the television set, and of course there's crap on. 5:15. Here he goes. And he didn't stop till about 8.
Well, I just stopped him long before that.
With a butcher's
knife.
Butcher's knife.
Stop him with an axe.
What's your rooster's name again? Jose?
No, Colburn.
That was my second guess.
Rooster Colburn.
Rooster Colburn.
Yeah. He's got his own Twitter site, too.
Oh, yeah? Actually, I saw that one. That was pretty good.
I didn't do it.
It was really good.
It's not mine, either. It's somebody else has done it.
Well, they got a lot of followers. They're really cocky with it now.
Oh, stop.
What?
He's a handsome fellow.
So you will watch the Raptors Saturday, Bob, and Perkins.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'll watch.
Why not?
I don't know why I just said your last name.
Why wouldn't you watch?
I'm throwing it out there. I don't know.
What, are you going to watch?
Of course.
Well, then what are you asking us for?
I don't know.
Like we're a couple of guys who don't know basketball or something.
I didn't say that. I'm saying weekends are busy.
Well, you said it like, you know, we wouldn't watch.
You're at 7 LCBOs throughout the week. I don't know where you're
at. No, I just got one.
Okay, just one.
This weekend.
Next weekend schedule, who knows?
No, I'm not going. I don't have any more schedules.
Can I ask him? Can I ask him, because he's a young with it guy, can I ask him a baseball question?
Well, I am not a young
because it's a baseball question. It's about Brett Laurie.
All right.
And a year ago, when Brett Laurie was playing third base, I was saying to people, you know, he makes a lot of terrific plays, but he makes some bad decisions. His throws aren't the greatest. The first baseman's usually jumping and or digging it, and you know, he has some issues. This year, I would say he is vastly improved. His decision making's terrific. He makes more highlight plays than anybody in the team. He's made some tremendous highlight plays, and he makes the routine plays. Makes the play you're supposed to. His throws are much improved. He hits the guy in the chest now at first base, and I'm thinking, good for him. He's really come along. So yesterday I'm hunting through statistics. You know, I always check the new stats. Guess where Brett Laurie ranks among Major League third basemen in defensive WAR? And we all know WAR is the only thing that matters in the world.
What is it good for?
Guess where he ranks?
12th?
28th.
Really?
And I'm saying, what?
How
this
is that
isn't
possible?
What I'm seeing. How is this possible?
Stats are dumb.
He hasn't made any errors. He's made highlight play after highlight play, but he's made routine plays.
So explain WAR to
people. Please explain it. Yeah, this is what I'm saying.
Wins above replacement. I mean, the configuration, other people sit here and give you a better explanation.
No, but right.
But I'm just saying.
Like, how do they get to that number?
Who's doing this?
I mean, exactly how they get to it, I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
But in terms of the Mike Trout, the conversations of the world, right. And a lot of these players, these guys will live by the stat.
Right.
And I think it's garbage, personally.
Well, I think the defensive metrics are very questionable. I know what my eyes show me after, you know, more than half a century of watching Major League Baseball. Yeah. I know what my eyes say. And then I look up these numbers. I go, come on. Is somebody kidding here?
You know, how many wins how many wins do you get with them in the lineup?
Bring up a Ham and Ager, and he's going to play a better third base
and
than
this guy? I don't pretend to know, but doesn't offense factor into this too?
No, they have separate categories, offensive WAR, defensive WAR.
Oh.
Offensive WAR, he's horrible, no question. When you're hitting 120, of course he is. But
defensively,
he's played, I think, very well this year. And it's not just the highlight plays. It's his decision making and everything else. His throws, you know, he's keeping the double.
But even a misstep with him is looking good today. He had the play in the fifth inning today.
That's a base hit.
But it's a tough play as it is. The fact that he was still in the conversation to get the guy out, Dozier out at first, is pretty ridiculous.
It's not a routine play.
But the stat will not illustrate how tough the ball was to play. What the stat cannot tell you.
I'm not sure what the stat's telling me when it tells me this.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know, there's two separate, you know, sources on WAR, right? One counts it one way, one counts it the other. And they're two different stats.
Yeah.
But one of them had him 28th, the other one, I don't know where it was. He was not quite as bad. But
The shocking thing to me was in that stat was the Triple Crown win by Cabrera 2 years ago. He won a Triple Crown.
Yeah.
But there was a large section of people who would not look past Mike Trout's WAR. And say, well, that's it.
Right.
And we're like, no, you don't understand what he just did. You have no idea because you're 8. You keep your WAR statistic. This guy just hit a triple. He just hit for the Triple Crown. They wouldn't budge.
Mm-hmm.
It was all Trout. It was all WAR. It was wins above replacement. And they wouldn't look at anything else. That frightened me.
And if you dared to disagree with them, you got called names and said, well, you don't know what you're looking
at. It was ridiculous.
Well.
That's when I started to kind of get it, to get really scared of this thing.
Yeah, I think some of the stats people get a little bit out of control in terms of, you know, they think they know all truths based on the numbers. Well, sometimes you should watch the game.
Correct. I agree.
It's a thought.
It's amazing, eh?
Yeah.
Why don't you watch the game and then tell me what you think? Nope. Mm-hmm. He's got something more. So he's not good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, maybe you're just an idiot. Maybe.
Anyway, it was just a question, and I couldn't figure it out.
I tried to. I did my best to answer it. Yeah, I can't figure it out.
I emailed a couple of Blue Jay guys I know, and they said, well, there's a simple explanation. Some of these defensive metrics are just BS. So that seems like as good an explanation as I was going to get.
But you can't tell the stats guys that certain stats are garbage because it just completely it sullies it everything
upsets.
They do.
Yeah, I understand.
A lot of the stats are
really good. A lot of the stats tend to verify both what you see and what you think you see.
But there needs to be some common sense in it. There needs to be some trusting your gut in there. And some analytic people don't think that way.
Mm. Oh.
Were you a stats guy back in the day before everything went
crazy? I remember 1978-79 sending money away to Bill James in Kansas City when he sent the stuff out in paperback.
Hmm.
It was his original prospectus, whatever you call them, were hand mimeographed and then hand stapled, and they came in brown envelopes. And apparently, you read them, and eventually over the years you get too much stuff, you throw stuff out. These things are now worth money, apparently, the original stuff.
And did you buy into
No, I read it and I enjoyed, and I thought, and it did. I will say it did change the way I looked at some aspects of baseball.
Really? Huh?
You know. He made some terrific
points. That's the shame of it, because I'm with you. I think some of it's really good, but the aggression with which people will defend it is so over the top, it just completely turns you off.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I am with
it. Well, James himself 2 years ago said, you know, this stuff's getting out of hand. It makes watching baseball like doing your taxes.
And there is a lot of that.
Yeah.
We got to go. We got a guest. Like a real one.
All right. Have a good weekend, guys. I'm done.
Don't tell us what to do. You're off tomorrow.
Onward and upward.
I'm done.
All right, so we'll see you next week.
See you next week, Bob. See you,
Bert. There's Sid Sixera off microphone. Later in the program, Paul Jones will join us. Joe Siddle, Blue Jays radio analyst. Between games, he's got nothing else to do. These split doubleheaders.
You have to have dinner.
Cheapskates. Jim Popp, Montreal Alouettes. Glenn Healy from Hockey Night in Canada. And Terry Ryan, former NHL forward who wrote a book that's quite interesting.
I won't be around for... when you get do the Alouettes segment. So ask this question for me. Will he be called Vincent Wheat? No, what is it? Quatre Vincent. Yeah, whatever.
Well, he changed his name back to Johnson.
Well, whatever.
You can call me Ray or you can call me Jay. Richard Dyson has to call me Johnson.
Yeah, Quatre Vincent. That would be it.
Richard Deitch of Sports Illustrated is with us. Hello, Deitch. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Bob?
I'm fine.
Excellent.
So Ocho Cinco signs in the Canadian Football League. How about that?
Well, you would tell me. I mean, how is that news playing up north?
We're ignoring it.
Does anybody care?
No, we're pretty much ignoring it.
Yeah, Chad is very good at getting publicity for Chad.
Right.
What he has left, who on earth knows?
Well, they worked him out and they offered him a contract. Now, what you never know is, whether they see him as a ticket draw or whether they see him having something significant left.
It would seem to me ticket draw first and something left next, but, you know, there was a thought that from some in the NFL that believed he could have played this year, but he had become such of a headache that nobody really wanted him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, your shot on a 24-year-old receiver as opposed to a 34-year-old receiver. So, you know, I guess there's a possibility maybe he could have one more productive year. But I feel like that move is more for publicity's sake than performance sake.
Well, you know, this may not be 100% factual, but it seems to me that most CFL teams would not look at an aging receiver who may have lost a step, because on a bigger field, speed kills. And I, now, having said that, there have been plenty of high-quality receivers in the Canadian Football League over the years that weren't real fast.
Yeah, they're deliberate guys, but they caught the ball.
Yeah. Having said that, generally speaking, you want guys that are quicker. So you'll see guys come out of college that are quick. They make their mark in the Canadian Football League, then they get their shot in the National Football League. It rarely works the other way around, but we'll see. Masters ratings, the worst since 1993. Not totally unexpected. No Tiger. Phil stunk the joint out and was gone by the weekend. Is there anything else we read into this?
No, you know, no drama by the end of the tournament and the final round. So that adds to it. You know, Bubba Watson certainly, I think, is likable, but there's still a ways to go for him to be a, I wouldn't even say sort of a Phil draw, let alone a Tiger draw. But, you know, the network execs, they try very hard to spin it another way, but there is no spin here. The simple fact is, if Tiger Woods is not competing when it comes to a major and is not involved in the final round of it, ratings drop 40%. I mean, it is what it is. And especially at an event like the Masters, you know, you get a little bailed out because it's the Masters and people are going to watch just because it's, you know, it's like watching Wimbledon. It's such an iconic event. But he really continues to make a difference in the ratings of that sport. And I don't know, you know, I was trying to think the other day, is there another athlete in his or her sport where they really have that kind of impact on ratings? And maybe a LeBron to a little bit of an extent in the NBA, but nobody's close. I mean, this guy really, you know, when you talk about the kind of power and influence Tiger Woods has, he really does have it because he has so much economic control of where the sport is.
I'd love to see the geographic breakdown of the ratings, and here's why. Because this occurred to me before the Masters started, but probably around the time we started talking, when Tiger said he wasn't going to play, and we started talking about, well, I wonder what the ratings are going to be. I wonder if the ratings were at poorest in the Northeast. And here's my theory on this. If you live in the Northeast of the United States, or in Southern Ontario, for example, because the weather is similar, our golf courses are usually open by now. And a lot of them open middle of March. So the Masters really is about the debut of the golf season for a bunch of people like me and like Perk, who've been sitting around all winter chomping at the bit to get out there. And I wonder if the fact that like my course isn't going to open now, I don't think, till May 15th.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there
I think the city courses, they're supposed to open tomorrow, I think. Toronto courses, but they're just, the munis.
I wonder if that plays a factor in this, Richard.
That's a good question, because I do think that things like weather really do play a factor in the ratings. You know, beautiful spring, summer days, people are out, less people watching the television. So it's possible, but again, the only thing I would say, and why the Masters is a little bit of a different cat, is that I think golfers, I mean, and I am not a golfer, but I would imagine, wouldn't golfers want to watch the Masters just because it's like kind of the one event that if you say you're a golf fan that you're actually going to watch on TV?
Yeah, but it's also
the course, you know.
Yeah, it's all that, but it's this rite of spring. It is the begin for those of us in the Northeast and the northern part of the United States. It marks the beginning of the golf season. Even though, I mean, in the southern U.S. and in the West, they play all year round. There's a good chunk of America and all of Canada, well, with the exception of BC, that only has an 8-month golf season or a 7-month golf season. And this is sort of the beginning of it. And I can tell you many occasions where my club was open and on Masters weekend, we'd go play in the morning and then everybody would hang around the club in the afternoon and watch the Masters on Saturday and Sunday afternoon. And everybody wanted an early time. And club's not open, nowhere to go.
Well, the one thing I would say to that is, to amplify your thought, there's no doubt that if people think that Sunday is not going to be competitive, maybe they go out. I do. If I'm correct, though, heading into Sunday,
it was competitive.
Tight.
Lots of guys.
Yeah,
so
well, and you also had a 20-year-old kid who could have been the youngest player, exactly. to ever win the Masters.
Yeah. So you didn't know. If nothing else, you didn't know that the last five holes would pretty much be, not that sort of dramatic or compelling. So. Oh. You may be on to something.
I don't know.
I'll see if I can find it. I don't know what the I didn't get the city-by-city breakdown highest-rated markets on the Masters, but I'll see what I can find. But usually, traditionally, in the States, there are markets that are always, no matter what the event is, like top 10 markets. Buffalo, New York happens to be one of those great TV markets. West Palm, Nashville, Birmingham. There are certain TV markets that, no matter what and almost no matter the sport, they draw really, really well. Obviously based on their own population base.
It also might be as simple as this, that golf fans and Masters junkies, they're going to watch casual sports fans drawn in by two things, stars or compelling storylines.
Absolutely.
And we're missing, the brightest stars in a sport where hardly anybody moves the needle and it's been that way since Greg Norman. And the storylines were, they did. They were gone by the 10th tee, basically.
Well, I do think that the Masters and other events like that, I mean, the Super Bowl is obviously immune to all this, but there are a lot of sporting events where word of mouth becomes part of the draw. And now, unlike the old days where word of mouth was only in an office or a water cooler, social media delivers word of mouth. And there was not a lot of word of mouth on the Masters this year because of what you said. No, not a lot of stars. I say this, knock on wood, outside of the golf world, I know people think, right. The stars of golf are the stars of golf, and they are. But when we're talking about casual fans, generally speaking, if you walk down the street in a city like mine in New York and you ask people to name a golfer, I feel like 90, 95 would name Tiger Woods. Then I start wondering, honestly, after that, how many they could name. And that sort of gives you a quick indication of where the sport ultimately has to go, where they start naming Rory McIlroy and Adam Scott and some of these other young guys who ultimately have to lead the sport in the post-Tiger era.
It was always I covered golf for a lot of years, like the last 17 Masters. It was always my experience that other than Tiger, believe it or not, the guy who moved the needle the most was John Daly.
That does not surprise me because, if nothing else, I feel like, I mean, one, he's obviously, sort of interesting,
yeah, he's
both
like a circus
as a
freak. Yeah.
Train wreck and as a golfer. And two, I feel like people can sort of wrap their arms around what Daly has to say. The interesting thing with Tiger has always been, Tiger might be, and you would know this better than me, really one of the most boring interviews in sports history. But his greatness was so great on the course that his play demanded to be watched and obsessed over. Daly, on the other hand, as obviously one is British or whatever, he was just more fascinating because he was, he was like a living, breathing country music song.
Right.
Yeah. Quickly, I want to move on. For those that aren't aware, Fox will dip its toe into golf coverage in 2015, carrying the United States Open Championship. And Sports Business Journal is reporting that the lead broadcast pair will be Joe Buck and Greg Norman. What do you make of that?
What I make of that is a couple things. One, I think Buck clearly asked the Fox brass to give him another high-profile assignment. I think he's been doing football and baseball for so long that my sense is that he wanted something that would be a challenge to him. He is not the biggest golfer. He does golf, but he's not like Jim Nance, I live and breathe and golf is poetry. So it was interesting to me that I had heard rumblings that he might get it. The other thing is, I think Fox probably wants to put its most well-known sports broadcaster on a new property to let the public know, and even more than that, let the advertisers know that this is something of great importance to them. And then in terms of Greg Norman, I think he could be good. I always found Greg Norman pretty interesting. He's an interesting, smart guy. I don't know what kind of analyst he'll be, but I feel that's not a bad roll of the dice. You guys may know more than me in terms of if he's done work in Australia, if he's been an analyst on other golf events. But
not that I'm aware.
I can feel like he could be pretty good.
Oh, I tend to agree with you. I mean, you never really know, but I mean, he has. I don't know when Johnny Miller came on the scene. I don't know that I thought Johnny Miller necessarily would be what he was going to be. And some people like Miller and some people don't like Miller, but I think Norman has plenty of opinions, and I think that's one of the things you want. And he doesn't have the biggest personality. He's not a funny guy, but he might be controversial there.
Thing I was going to say when it comes to golf, and this is the same for all these other sports, is if Greg Norman immediately shows the audience that he's working for them, he's honest, he will be critical of golfers, he will become a hit. And the irony of golf, you don't even have to be nearly as critical in any other sport because the sport is so ridiculously filled with over-the-top platitudes that if Norman comes 90% of what Johnny Miller is, he'll be a hit because the sport, generally speaking, when you watch it, is just filled with people who bow at the altar of everything from tradition to each of the golfers. So I'm with you. If Norman comes off as honest as he has come off in sort of other interviews when he was a player, I think he could be really good. And he will have that shot because my sense is that Fox historically wants to produce sort of a different broadcast. So I think knowing the Fox guys, my sense is they're going to try to make it a little bit younger. And if you're going for a little bit younger, you know, maybe you want your broadcasters to be a little bit more out there and more opinionated.
The one thing that sort of concerns me is we're going down once again with Fox. The necessity they feel they have to reinvent every sport that they touch.
Right.
And they've done it. They do it consistently. And they're now bragging about the fact that they're going to revolutionize television golf. How the hell are they going to do that?
Yeah, Fox attitude is what I, whenever I talk to guys, you know, we got to Foxize it. Yeah, I mean, it's it's marketing, two, it's hubris, and three, a lot of it is living off, to be honest with you, some of the things that they did 12 years ago on football, putting the first down marker on, you know, plucking Summerall and Madden away from CBS. I mean, they certainly did a lot of, you know, they were the first or at least among the first to really blow up graphics, which was great. We live in a graphic universe, but you're not wrong. And they, you know, I like their kind of spirit of, hey, we're going to do it our way and, you know, screw what the masses says. We're going to try this. But they do way too often think that, I guess the one thing, my problem with Fox, which I have written about, is when they do something that's really dumb, and they have done a lot of dumb things, they generally are not willing to admit it as fast as other places will to change, because they consider themselves such revolutionaries.
Well, all of this is Republican tendencies, you know, which they have over at Fox.
You know?
They're all a bunch of Republicans.
Jackie Robinson was a Republican.
Well,
yeah, I believe somewhere deep inside Fox Sports, Roger Ailes is also running everything there too.
If they really wanted to revolutionize golf, just take two or three caddies and put them in the broadcast booth, because those are the guys who tell golf like it is. Those are the guys you really.
What about a caddy cam?
Yeah, exactly.
Watch golf through the eyes of the caddy,
and let them comment, because these guys are acerbic and they know what's going on.
Well, they got to cut it.
The only thing I don't want, and this is where Fox annoys me, because I'm a big soccer fan, is please don't bring on your other personalities from other sports.
Oh, yeah.
Up the broadcast. No Michael Strahan on Fox.
Oh, yeah,
on
please.
Golf. No Terry Bradshaw on golf. Fox has a bad habit of doing that, and that is, I am not a big golf fan, again, but if there's one thing I would ask out of respect for golf fans, is please do not junk up the broadcast by bringing on Fox personalities from other sports.
Here, here.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get out of here. Deitch, always a pleasure. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, guys.
Talk to you soon. Richard Deitch of Sports Illustrated.
Good guy. You know exactly what you're saying. Whenever you watch the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, it's just an advertisement for all the network shows. And they bring in comedians and have the and that's all they show for the first 3 days.
Yeah, the dilemma you have here is this is the United States Open. This is not the Podoink Championship, you know, brought to you by Samsung.
Right.
With due respect to Samsung. It's the United States Open.
Right.
You know, golfers take the majors fairly seriously, except for the PGA, maybe.
Yeah.
You could junk up the PGA a bit.
A little bit, yeah.
But, I mean, this is the United States Open Championship. Yeah. You know, there should be some reverence.
Oh, you must whisper.
And I mean, this is there is a lot of history here.
Yeah, you don't want robots and things like that.
Well, no, that's the thing that concerns me a little bit. I you know, if you want to junk up as I said, you know, in the third week of January, some event from Hawaii that nobody really cares about, and see whether it works or not. Okay, fine.
Sure.
Go down that road.
Good idea.
But not the Open.
No.
I mean, they're going to put their own spin on it, and that might be good.
Yeah.
The truth is, ABC's coverage
would
become horrible.
I know what you're saying. I'm not even a U.S. Open fan. A tournament always irked me.
Do you like Tirico?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Do you? See, I don't.
I don't mind him. I mean, he's, you know, he's not strong, but
I always love Curtis Strange offensive. As a player, as an announcer.
Yeah,
he's got nothing to say.
Well, the same thing with Faldo. Faldo doesn't work at it. He'll say stuff, but he doesn't do his homework, and he doesn't really work at it.
No, but I like Faldo better than I like Strange, and I don't like Tirico.
I do too.
So,
yeah, to each his own.
Now we got Fox. Scares the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Especially as a Democrat. Paul Jones of the Toronto Raptors radio team will join us, and we'll talk about the Raptors' venture into the postseason. It begins this Saturday. That's when primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television and networks.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Cowan and Perkins on this Thursday, the 17th of April. This is our friend Paul Jones. Jonesy, ready for the playoffs?
Yeah, it's been 5 or 6 years since, so it's...
Well, it's about time you did a decent year's worth.
After April 15th.
And you picked the right year, too, because the golf courses won't be open, so...
I know, that's the worst thing.
You'd be doing nothing. You'd be sitting on your ass, and your wife would be saying, go do something.
I just want to know this. The one time, how many times has Perky won the lottery at the Masters to play?
Oh, you got to put your mic on.
Oh, twice.
Twice.
Seriously, you won twice in 17?
Yeah.
How many years?
Some guys don't even get a sniff, and this guy's won twice.
Shaky Hunt.
And it never rained on you, did it, Perk?
No, not really. Shaky Hunt was there for, 27 years, and the only time he ever won it, they got rained out.
Yeah.
And at that time, when you won, you weren't allowed to go back in.
Oh, really? You only got one?
Poor Shaky threw a no-hitter.
If that ever happened to me, I'm sleeping right there, or I'm doing the Bill Murray.
How many guys get in?
Oh, they would pick anywhere from... They probably pick four foursomes of writers, four foursomes of TV guys.
Right.
You know, maybe five foursomes of each. Okay, I think 30 people out of the media would get in. But, see, they changed the rule about 98 maybe, that after you won, 7 years later, you could go back in. So I won in my second year, and then I was eligible again. That makes it the ninth year. I didn't win, but I won in my 10th year. And then I was eligible again last year, which was my 17th, but I didn't win last year. Wow. And now I'm staying home to watch the Raptors.
That's good. That's good. Although, I got to tell you, man, a chance to play Augusta? I don't know.
Yeah, man, I know where I'd be.
But it's only a chance.
Would you get a sore throat? First game of the playoffs, you got a chance to either A, go to Augusta on Saturday, or B, call a playoff game.
Is Augusta going to pay me the amount that I would get to call the playoff game?
Life is short. Too? Life is short. It's not all about cash.
Yeah, says the
it's
guy
Augusta.
Says the guy that if he had that if I had his money, I'd burn mine.
He's got more money than Yoko Ono.
That's right. Yeah.
I do not.
You got
well,
people,
maybe.
Man.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know how much Yoko's got. So what do you make of this Brooklyn tanking thing? They didn't tank, really, did they?
You know what? I mean, I think they were okay with playing Toronto, and they got to the point where it was more important to rest people. I look at, and, you know, it's the old be careful of what you wish for, too.
Right.
I mean, Pierce, Garnett, Joe Johnson, Darren Williams, especially Pierce and Garnett, they're experienced and veteran enough. I mean, it's kind of like Miami right now in that you've won enough that you don't necessarily need home court. You can win that one game on somebody else's court. You can win one game in another guy's gym and hang on to your own, you know, your own court and win the series. I mean, Indiana has home court, which is great. They still have never won. I mean, they're going to have it all the way through if its seeding plays out and they win the series. And their style is such that they need home court. They're not getting that whistle the way they play on somebody else's court. Brooklyn's going to get, and everybody, we've been talking about this for weeks. Brooklyn, Chicago, the way they play, the style they play, they're going to get a good whistle. And, you know, they're going to get a favorable whistle. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter where they play. It's good for Toronto that they have home court, but I don't, you know, for Brooklyn, it's about resting. It's about resting those guys and making sure they're ready to go. I spoke to a couple of coaches today, Eastern Conference, one in the West, three coaches, and, you know, they all like Toronto. They all say, well, Brooklyn's old. I mean, so for whatever that is worth, I mean, people see, you know, Toronto and their athleticism being a real, real difficult, making it really difficult for Brooklyn.
And Brooklyn's a betting favorite over Toronto.
Yeah, I guess experience would have that. I mean, it can't be a huge line though, Perk.
160.
Yeah, I think there were 160 at the one side I saw today.
Wow.
Toronto was plus. To win the East, Brooklyn was 12-1. Toronto was 25-1.
Well, at the beginning of the year, the over-under for the—I mean, as much as Vegas gets it right, sometimes they're—I mean, the over-under for Toronto at the beginning of the year was 35.5.
That's
blown out of the water.
Yeah, sure.
That was done back in March.
If only anybody had known, they could have made that Rudy Gay trade.
And that's the other thing too, the chemistry. Talking to a bunch of the guys in the locker room last night. Everybody had a different thing. I said to DeMar, what can you guys hang your hat on? He said, hey, we play together at both ends. It's not one guy. I said to Lowry, what do you hang your hat on? He said, it's our defense. You know, they finished top 10, I believe, in both opponents' field goal percentage and points allowed. Dwayne Casey's a defensive guy. He's the guy that cooked up the defense that stopped LeBron James in the first incarnation of the first year when the Big Three was put together. So, I think it's going to be a really good series. And the good thing for Toronto is, as you said, Perk, they're underdogs. They have less experience. I know they have home court, but they're underdogs. And this Brooklyn team, make no mistake about it, they were built for a championship. That's what they were built for. They have the remnants of a championship team with Pierce and Garnett.
Yeah, remnants is the key word, though.
Does Garnett still intimidate, or is he
I don't
is
think
that
so.
Past?
I don't think
Not
so.
Not anymore.
But he still knows how to play, and that's not going away. And you're right, Bobcat, the remnants, they're not the way they were in 07 or 08 or, you know, when they lost to the Lakers in 9, you know, 10. They're different. But they've got, I would say, able support with Darren Williams, Joe Johnson. Sean Livingston is going to create some issues with his length in the post. He's a big guard. And then the kid Plumlee is playing out of his mind as a rookie, and they've got other good pieces. Allen Anderson, a former Raptor. The kid Teletovic comes off the bench and shoots it like crazy. So, this Brooklyn team was built for a championship. And, you know, here's talk about Toronto feeling disrespected. There's word in Miami now. Oh, they're disrespected. Oh, how dare Brooklyn disrespect us and lose so they can get on our side of the bracket.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's got that card going. Yeah.
We got to get out of here. Jones, if we don't talk before Saturday, and I can't imagine why we would, unless you wander in here. Are you doing your hoops thing tonight?
You'll be asleep when it's on the air, my friend.
Okay, if it's on at 7:30, I might be asleep tonight. Paul Jones, voice of the Raptors on the Fan. Thank you, Perk. Always good to see you.
Great to see you.
Dave Perkins. We'll come back with more in a bit on Primetime.